Good morning to you, and I'm glad you're here to worship with us today. And I'll be honest with you, I'm having just a hard time kind of seeing many of you today. The belt buckle this morning just blinded me. There was a light that caught that just a little bit, and that got me. We were a little concerned today about the hat that Woody was wearing because our student pastor Michael has the cool hairdo, you know, like this. We thought we were going to have to get one of those big Stetson hats to be able to hold the hair in like that, but we had a stylist come in and kind of do the comb over a little bit this morning. And so the silly things we do, in a sense, to drive home a point that we all know that we have a friend in Jesus. We all know that. But there are people today that need us to be their friend. And so you take your Friend Sunday card, you invite somebody to come to our Friend Day service. Hey, listen, you can invite them to come next week. That'd be okay. But on the 16th, that will be the special emphasis. And of course, we've got a luncheon for everyone after the service. And I do hope and pray that you're able to to be here, certainly. I hope you're able to bring somebody with you and that you will be able to really help somebody find that friend that they need in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to ask you a couple of questions. And on this first question, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, so to speak. But if I were to ask for a show of hands, how many of you today would say that there's some drama that's in your life today? Or maybe your life just filled with drama. I don't know. If I were to ask you to raise your hands today, how many of you would say, you know, I know somebody that his or her life is filled with drama, and I kind of have to deal with that on a regular basis. Now, I'm going to let you raise your hands on this one because this is going to be therapeutic to you in regards to the first two questions. How many of you today would say, I am sick of dealing with drama in my life? Man, I got some hands, I got double hands that have gone up this morning. And well, I'm glad you're here because I'm going to begin a new teaching series today that's simply entitled, No Drama Allowed. That's the title of it, No Drama Allowed. Now, let me just address to you what I'm talking about by drama. Drama is the way that a person kind of looks at the world around them. It's a view of the world around you. And that person either kind of overreacts or they highly exaggerate the importance of really what we'll just call benign facts or benign events that are happening around them. Some unimportant things, but boy, they sure do make it sound important. Now, here's what happens with somebody who we'll call a drama queen or a drama king. They will often pull you into their drama. And they do that. And they do that for two reasons. Number one, they like to draw attention to themselves. Or they like to make the life that they're living seem much more exciting and much more important than it really is. Now, all of us today, we experience some kind of drama. If you're in school, you've got drama with your classmates or just drama with teenagers or drama with college students. Some of you that are in the military, you would say that, yes, we have a regimented daily routine of things, but there's drama that goes on all the time. In your workplace, at home, if there's people involved, and dare I say that sometimes there's even a little drama that takes place among believers at church, right? We all know what drama is like, and we've all experienced that drama. And by the quick show of hands, you know exactly what I'm talking about this morning. Here's the danger with drama and why I talk to you about drama today and over these next several weeks. There's a danger with drama because here's what it does. It distracts us from really focusing on what is important. It detracts us from really focusing on what we should be focusing on. And many times that drama is so large and it's so overwhelming that it overshadows the real needs that are at hand or how that we can address those real needs at hand. So there's a danger when it comes to this idea of drama. We see this danger played out today in this woman that we know as Martha. So if you will, take your Bibles, please, and go with me to Luke chapter 10. As we go to Luke chapter 10 this morning, we draw our attention down to verse 38. And as we go down to verse 38, you'll notice as you kind of scan those verses, verse 38 and verse 39, that Martha is in her home. She's in her home in Bethany. And Bethany was a small town. It was a small city that was just outside of Jerusalem. And there, she is about to host Jesus and his disciples. Now, Mary and her sister Martha, their brother Lazarus, they were friends with Jesus. And the Bible tells us in John chapter number 11 that Jesus loved them. And so they were friends. And you wonder, you know, did Jesus have friends in his earthly ministry? Yes, he did. These are some of his closest friends outside of his disciples. And so on the day that Jesus visits here, Martha wants to be a good hostess. I mean, you've got Jesus coming. You've got his disciples coming. She wanted to make sure that the meal was just right. She wanted to make sure that her home was just right. She wanted to make sure that the presentation of everything that day was going to be just perfect for Jesus and for his disciples. Now, the problem that arises is that Martha's sister Mary isn't so engrossed in working. She isn't so engrossed in preparing the meal. She isn't so engrossed in making sure that everything looks just perfect for the arrival of these very special guests. And so as Martha is working and as she's laboring and she's sweating and fretting and so on, then where does she find her sister? Well, where's Mary? Mary's where Jesus is. Mary is there hanging out with Jesus. Mary is there listening to Jesus. Mary is there hanging on every word that Jesus is saying. And as we'll see, what Martha allowed the drama of that moment to do was to distract her from focusing on what was most important. She allowed that drama to drive a wedge between she and her sister. And she allowed that drama to enable her to make some very strong statements against Mary, and even just some accusational things even against Jesus. And you're thinking, oh my word, this seems to be there's got a lot of drama in this, and there is, just like in our lives today. I wonder today just what kind of drama is happening in your life. Now, I know I ask about somebody else's life, and if you could just push that to the side for just a moment, but I'm asking about the drama that might be in your life today, whether it's small or whether it's large. I wonder what drama that's happening in your life today is keeping you distracted from really focusing on what's most important. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about living for the Lord. What drama is keeping you from living for the Lord? What drama is keeping you from spending quality time with your family? What drama is keeping you from being a productive employee for your boss? What drama is keeping you from getting good grades if you're in school? What drama is keeping you from what is most important? Again, our focus today is no drama allowed. And kind of the tagline or even the title of today's message is this idea of don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. As we continue reading here in Luke chapter number 10, the first thing I want you to understand and see is how important it is that we not be distracted with work. Don't be distracted with work. Notice verse 40 now. The Bible says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. From our text, the Bible says that Martha is distracted from spending time with Jesus. She's not there hearing his teaching. She's not there listening to what he had to say and what he was saying there. She's preoccupied. She's preoccupied again with fixing this meal for her guest, serving her guest, perhaps even making sure that the bedrooms are ready in case they want to spend the night and stay there. The word distracted that's used there in verse 40 is the idea of dragging someone or dragging something away from where it is. And so what Martha is doing, according to what Scripture teaches us, is that Martha is dragging herself away from what is most important. Now, let's just get right to the point. What is most important at this particular time that's going on in Martha and Mary's home? The most important thing at this time is being with Jesus. That was the most important thing that was taking place in her home. Now, you say, is there anything wrong with being hospitable? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with showing hospitality. The Bible says, Scripture teaches us that we are to show hospitality toward others. But in the process of doing that, here's what Martha did. Martha got her priorities mixed up. She was fussing and fretting, and she was trying there to get everything arranged to her satisfaction. And she was potentially trying to make a good impression on Jesus and make a good impression on the guests that are going to be in her home. But as a result, Martha failed to take advantage of a very rare and priceless opportunity. She was hosting Jesus Christ in her home. She had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She had the Son of the living God in her home. And as we understand that, that was the key moment. That was the key focus, was being with Jesus. The teachings that he could have had. Hey, maybe he just wanted to kind of relax for a few moments and just spend some time talking to his friends and allowing them to encourage him. Whether it was a benefit to Martha or it was a benefit back to Jesus, Martha was distracted, her priorities were mixed up, and she was not focusing on the very most important thing. Now, let me share a truth with you today. And this truth is, we are all busy. Can I get amen there? Amen. All of us today are busy. And you know what busyness often leads to? Drama. Busyness often leads to drama. If you're a young person, you're a teenager here today, and you've got school and you've got sports and you've got music practices and you've got all kinds of things that are going on. If you're a parent of one of those kids, you know, you're talking about the Uber drivers and the Lyft drivers of today. I mean, some of you moms have been Uber and Lyfting your kids for a long time. And some of you are going to go home and go, I need to get paid for this. Amen? That's good. I'm trying to help you there, ladies. Hey, if you're an adult, work, family, kids, household responsibilities, how many of you, and I'm just asking, because I got a little frustrated yesterday, I had to ask the Lord to forgive me my bad attitude, but I had a lot to do yesterday, and 45 minutes of downpour rain did not help me get done what I needed to get done. How many of you have said this week, so please help me so I feel better, how many of you said this week, there's just not enough hours in the day to get done what needs to be done? Thank you very much. I feel so much better. I got two hands over here. Thank you, Terrence. You know, hey, we feel that way, don't we? We feel that way in our lives. Some of you that are seniors, the idea of retirement, the idea of life transition. Some of you, doctor's appointments. I call my parents and I ask them something and say, man, we're just busy. And I'm like, busy? Y'all been retired for 15 years. What do you got busy? Oh, we got doctor's appointment here and doctor's appointment there. We got to go here at the church and we got to go there at the church. It's the busiest time of my life. I'm like, so you're saying you can't come see me? Is that what you're saying? You know, they talk about being busy. Hey, let's talk about us this morning. Even Christians are busy. We're here at church and we're volunteering and we're serving and we've got a lot of activities and we dare not complain. Because that would seem way too unspiritual to be able to do that, right? We're busy. Everybody seems to be busy today. And because of that busyness, all of that does is it allows drama to build and it allows drama to take over. And our lives as a result are lived in this drama. But in spite of this truth of our busyness, it's vitally important that we spend devotional time with the Lord every single day. Let me say that one more time. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care what stage of life that you might be in. It is vitally important that you spend devotional time in worship with the Lord. Did they need to eat that day? Sure they did. Were the disciples hungry? I'm sure they were. Most of the time we find that they're hungry. Did Jesus perhaps need some nourishment? Well, let's just say for sake of argument that he did. They would get to that. I'm sure Mary and Martha would more than satisfy them. But the most important thing that was going on in that house was that Jesus was there. And the most important thing going on in your house every single day is the time that you spend with Jesus. We must allow him to share his word with us. This is his word. This is God's very breath to us to instruct us, to talk to us, to challenge us, to encourage us. And so as we read his word, we're hearing from God. As we pray, what are we doing? We're talking to God. We're sharing our heart with God. We're singing praises to His name. We are thanking Him. We are reverencing Him. We're asking Him for help in our own lives. And as we have that daily devotional time, what does that enable us to do? It enables us to get closer to God, and it enables us to put the drama away. Because listen, if you're trusting in the Lord, you're not trusting in other people. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're not looking at yourself. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're not consumed with all the things that are around you, because you know that He is the Lord of all things, and if He's the Lord in your life, then everything's going to be taken care of. That's what happens in our life. And so, as we look at this, you have to ask yourself the question, in all of your work and all of your busyness, have you been ignoring the Lord like Martha? How's your devotional time? How's your walk with God? How's your prayer time? How's your Bible reading? How's your worship of God? Is it just on Sunday morning at 10:45? Is that it? I hope not. Martha's problem was not that she had too much work to do. Her problem was that she allowed that work to distract her and pull her apart. Now, I've said to you many times, and I'm just being real with you today, that the hardest thing about pastoring and preaching is living up to what you preach. And I'll be honest with you, of all the statements that I'm going to make today, this one tears me apart. This one convicts me. This is one of those I might have kind of deleted so I'd feel better about preaching. I'm just being real with you today. This one tears me up. It's not that there's not enough time. It's not that we're not busy and there's a lot of work to do. But so many times I allow my schedule to kind of tear me apart. I allow my schedule to kind of frustrate me. I allow my schedule to kind of drag me away, if you will, as Martha was, from really focusing on what's most important and really focusing my life in doing what's most important. Maybe that's you today. That was Martha on that particular today, on that particular day. So today, you sit here and you say, Pastor, I've got some problems. I've got some drama. And behind that drama, there's some real issues that are brewing, some real things that are taking place. Let me be spiritual with you for a moment, because I'm really trying to get to the heart of your matter. How's your walk with God? You're sitting here today and you say, I don't have a walk with God. I'm not really a Christian. I've never given my life to Christ. Are you being faithful in your devotional life today? Are you? You see, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life and you are not committed to living for Him each day, I just have to believe there's going to be issues and problems and drama that's going to be in your life. Now, am I saying that if you are living for the Lord that you'll never have any problems in your life? No, I'm not saying that at all. But there's a difference in allowing our problems and our drama to overwhelm us, and there's a difference from trusting in the Lord to take care of our problems and our drama. There's a big difference there. What is it for you? If you're allowing your work and busyness to distract you from walking with the Lord each and every day, you're going to be like Martha. You're going to be busy, but you're not going to be blessed. And that's where a lot of people are today. They're busy, but they're not blessed. They've allowed work to distract them. The second thing I want you to see is in verse 41, how important it is not to be distracted with worry. Don't be distracted with worry. Now, do you know what the result of being distracted with a lot of work to do is? Worry. I mean, if you've got a lot on your plate and you've got a lot of things taking place and you've got a lot of things to do and you've got this going on here and you've got that going on there, you know what the result of that is? Worry. How am I going to get it all done? How am I going to be in two places at the same time? It's worry. Now notice how the Lord answers Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And Jesus says back to Martha, Martha, Martha. Mentioned it two times as a point of emphasis. There's an emotional connection. Jesus is about to drive home a point, and He's trying to get her attention. Martha, Martha, you are anxious. You're troubled about by so many things. I think we can identify with that statement. There was a guy one time said he asked his buddy, asked his friend, and says, you know, hey, you seem to be worried. You look a little troubled. You look worried today. The guy responded back to his friend and said, listen, I got so much going on and I'm so troubled. If there's anything new that comes my way, it's going to be 2 weeks before I can worry about what that is today. Anybody else identify with that? Yeah. Yeah, that's where we live today. I've shared this quote with you before, but it so puts what worry is all about. Worry is like a rocking chair. Well, it gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere, does it? It's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and you're busy and you're busy and you're worrying and you're worrying and you're worrying, and when you stop, you're still in the same spot that you were when you started. That's what worry does in our lives. And it seems as if everything today creates this worried state for us. But if you're watching the news, man, they want to make sure that you're worried about something. Breaking news that's going to change your life and mess up your life. We talk about politics. We talk about people. Just hearing people's problems. Hey, we've not even talked about our own family, have we? Hey, sometimes in the church, we have issues and things that come up that cause us to be worried. And that worry is going to produce some kind of drama. Martha was unduly concerned and troubled, I believe, about the temporal things to the point that she had forgotten the most important thing. What was the most important thing that was going on? Jesus was there with them, spending time with Jesus, devoting all of our time and resources to Jesus, listening to Him, talking with Him, worshiping Him, being with Him, allowing Him to fill us, allowing Him to direct us. That was what was happening at that time. And I think all too often you and I, even as Christians, we're like Martha. We allow ourselves and we allow our daily lives to be regulated by what's not necessary, by what's not really truly important. Yes, faithfulness at your job, faithfulness at home, faithfulness at the church, they're all important and they all have their appropriate place. But they must not be allowed to replace our time, our faithfulness to worshiping the Lord and walking with Him. Our jobs, our family, even our service here at the church, those things cannot replace our own personal spiritual time of walking with the Lord and spending time with Him. It can't. So what has you worried today? What has you so worried today that you're losing focus? You're losing focus. You're distracted today. You're not focusing on Christ. You're not praying. You're not spending time with Him. You're not walking with Him. You're not trusting in Him and what He can do in your life and what He can do through your life. What has you so worried? Now, we look at this passage and we're like, Martha, chill. I mean, okay, it's okay. You'll get the meal. Jesus will be fine with this. He'll just appreciate the fact that you are there. Hey, listen, there's other people that, Martha, you need to relax, okay? We'll get the meal out there. We need to spend time with Jesus, and then we'll figure out the meal. Before you cast judgment on her, if somebody were to look in your life today and listen to you talk this afternoon after church, and listen to you go on and on and on about what you're worried here and how you're worried there and how you're worried here and how you're worried there, what would it say about your life? What would it say about what's going on? Where your focus is? Is it on self? Is it on all the problems? Or is it on Jesus? What are you worried about today? It's important that we not be distracted because of work. It's important that we not be distracted because of worry. But let me give you another distraction today, how important it is that we not be distracted with woe, W-O-E. By woe, I'm talking about sorrow. I'm talking about distress. I'm talking about despair. Go back up to verse 40 now, Luke chapter 10. So Martha is distracted. There's a lot of serving that's going on here. And Jesus has already pinpointed it. He knows, He sees that she's anxious. She's worried about things. And so now she says to the Lord, notice first the end of verse 40, Lord, do You not care that my sister has allowed me to serve alone? Tell her to go and come and help me. Lord, do You not care? Tell her to come and help me. Now, those of you that have grown up with brothers and sisters, perhaps you have made some kind of comment like that, and you've had the chores to do after dinner, and you and your brother or you and your sister or your task was to clean up the dinner dishes, to wash the dishes or load the dishwasher or take out the garbage or something of that nature. And you and your sibling were assigned that task. And you're working hard, but your brother or your sister is not really working as hard as you are. And you've yelled into the living room or the family room, or you've gone upstairs where mom and dad are, and you've said, "Hey, Johnny is not helping me wash the dishes. Tell him to help me." Some of you have had that happen. Some of you have got kids. You've got multiple kids, and that happens on a regular basis. You've given them a simple task, and there's a voice that comes from the kitchen that says, "They're not helping me. Tell them to help me." Now, I know that's in your home because in my home, Olivia and Blake do that perfectly. No issues, no problems at all. We've never heard Olivia say, "Blake's not helping, tell him to take the trash out." I've never heard that at all. That's a little what Martha was saying. "Jesus, Mary's not helping. And Jesus, tell her to come in here and help me. I can't get this done." That's a little what she was saying here. That's a little of her attitude there. I like what one writer said, Martha's misguided priorities finally caused her to lose the joy of her serving. The joy of her serving. Now, did there need to be a meal? Yes. Was Jesus and his disciples there? Absolutely. Was it a big deal that they were there? Without question. But as you understand her saying, "Lord, do you not care? Will you tell Mary to come in here and help me?" She's losing the joy now of serving. She's losing the joy of Jesus and the disciples being there. She's losing the joy of that particular moment. And she becomes flustered and she becomes agitated and she becomes frustrated until finally she just becomes angry. And the target of her anger was her sister, who instead of helping her with the preparations, what's she doing? She's sitting there listening to Jesus. She's at his feet, listening to everything that he would say to them that day. Now, Martha's irritation, Martha's anger that we now understand, caused her to lose control and make some, really, just an unthinkable accusation. Notice again verse 40. She says to the Lord, now, not to Mary, not to anybody else, not to the disciples, "Lord, do you not care?" Now, let's take a step back. The Lord who came to seek and to save that which is lost, the Lord who lived daily a very busy schedule, healing and helping and ministering to so many people, the Lord who had taken time out of his schedule to be there personally with Martha and Mary with his disciples, the Lord who can heal, the Lord who is gracious, this Lord, do you not care? Could you say that this is perhaps one of the most foolish statements that's ever been uttered? This was Martha. This is a friend of Jesus. This is somebody he loves. He's hanging out at their house, as we would say. And then after falsely accusing Jesus of not caring, it's as if Martha presumes that Jesus needs to do exactly what she wants him to do, implying that her plans were far more important than Jesus's plans. Now, if Jesus is showing up at your house, would you not think that whatever he says and does is most important? Would be in my house. Would you not think that on a daily basis as well? I mean, Jesus may not be physically here, but Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit, and he is our comforter. And do we not understand and know that the will of God and the lessons that Jesus teaches us through his earthly ministry are the most important things that we are to do? And so she says, "Jesus, do you not care?" And we're like, "What?" And then she says, "Go tell Mary to get in here and help me with this," as if that was the most important thing going on at that time. I said, "Pastor, you've been a little rough on Martha." I'm not really trying to be rough on Martha, but I'm really trying to illustrate that all the things that she's saying and all the things that are taking place in her life, this is exactly what living in drama does to us. It is. "Jesus, do you not care?" What a crazy statement. "Jesus, you go tell Mary to do something." Excuse me? What? That's what drama does to us. It causes us to lose focus on what we know is truth. It causes us to lose perspective and go totally out of control, thus skewing the right view of reality. It causes us to lose our joy and our happiness and make crazy statements in return. And we make these crazy statements, why? Because we're trying to get back that joy. We're trying to get back that happiness that our little world evolves around. And that's what happens to us. I've asked you about your work. I've asked you about your worry. What about your woe this morning? Is your woe today, your sorrow, your distress, your frantic state as Martha was here now, is it distracting you from realizing just how much Jesus really does care about you? Is it distracting you from truly realizing that Jesus wants to save you today? Is it distracting you that you truly are not realizing how much He really wants to help you and give you joy and give you peace and give you happiness? See, when you understand who Jesus is and you understand what God is trying to do in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is showing us every day how much He cares for us. God is showing us every day blessing. God is showing us every day favor. And God is trying to bring you to a point of salvation. God is trying to bring you to a point of truly committing your life to live for Him. God is trying to help you to depend on Him every single day for every single need, no matter how small or how huge that it might be. But when there's woe and there's sorrow and there's distress and there's an agitation and an anger and a franticness, it causes us from being distracted on what really is truth and what really is most important. So up to this point, I've told you to be careful about being distracted with work and with worry and with woe. I want to give you one final point this morning, and I want to show you how important it is not to be distracted from something, and that from is from worship. And it really is the key part of this entire text as we read it here together. Luke chapter 10, notice verse 42 now. Jesus says back to Martha, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Yes, we've established there was a meal that needed to be prepared. There was a meal that needed to be served to Jesus and His disciples. But Dr. Warren Wiersbe makes a very profound statement. I don't want you to listen to this. He says this, "What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ." He says, "Few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ." What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Spending time with Jesus every single day is our spiritual nutrition. It is our lifeblood. It is our energy. It is our excitement. And from that, everything else in life flows. But what do we try to do? Reverse it. We try to figure life out. We try to save ourselves. We try to make it into heaven. We try to fix this. We try to fix that. And then when everything falls apart, then what do? We get real spiritual. "Jesus, I need your help." I think back when Jesus was tempted by Satan there in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus makes a statement, and he's refuting something that the devil was saying to him. But it's a statement, I think, that really is appropriate here for this text. Jesus says, "A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What's he saying there? Well, again, he's refuting an accusation that the devil makes. But even in that statement, what does it say? The world, people, things, pleasures of this world will never satisfy, will never build, will never fill the void, will never help us like truly living according to every word that is breathed out from the mouth of God. And what's Martha doing? She's in the kitchen chopping and chopping and chopping, moving and moving and moving and moving. And where's Mary? She's literally sitting at the feet of Jesus, just waiting for every drop of word to come and fill her soul. Some of you are struggling today, and some of you are struggling today because you don't have a walk with God. Some of you are struggling today because you're not truly in His Word. You're not praying. You're not spending time with Him on a daily basis, and you're struggling today. Let me say to you today, this is not really an either-or situation. I don't want you to think, well, Pastor, you sound a little hypocritical because you say how important it is to serve and how important it is to volunteer and how important it is to work for the Lord, and it is. So this is really not an either-or situation. It really is a matter of balance. Now, let me give you a statement about what balance is, because this really helped me. Balance comes from knowing what is priority and then living according to those priorities. That's what balance comes. A lot of times we think, okay, well, if I worship Jesus over here and I work over here, well, if I serve at the church over here and then I read so much over here, and it's like we're trying to balance truly being perfect for the Lord. You're going to fall with that. Balance is knowing what is the priority, and then after we establish what that priority is, then we allow everything else in our life to fit exactly where it needs to be. What's the priority? Spending time with Jesus, giving our lives to Christ in salvation, committing ourselves to fully and wholly and faithfully live for Him every single day. That is the priority of which everything else in life falls from. And when you establish that priority and you live out that priority, don't be shocked when you find out this week that, wow, it just seems like my life had a lot more balance this week. Wasn't a lot of drama going on. How was your week? It was really a good week. I really can't pinpoint anything, but I did spend a little extra time with the Lord. It just seems like I've worshiped the Lord a little bit more this week. Bingo, bingo. That's where it is. That's where it is. That's the sweet spot. And as people live their lives and as life becomes more frantic and more disjointed and more drama-filled, we battle to stay focused. We battle of what our right priorities should be every single day. And by priority, I'm talking about a matter that ranks above all others in importance. Now, we're at church. Seems pretty obvious how important it is to live for the Lord, as we would say. Live for God. Study His Word, pray, worship Him. That really is the priority. And it outranks everything else. It has to in our lives. I think about the Apostle Paul there writing in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. There in verse 13, Paul says, "One thing I do." One. Was Paul a busy man? Absolutely. Sometimes Paul was running to and fro just to save his life. He's ministering. He's on missionary journeys. He's helping out. He's preaching the gospel. He's in prison, and he shouldn't be. He's still writing letters. He's going back and forth, back and forth. And he says, "This one thing I do." One. What was Paul's central focus? A tremendous passage. I encourage you to read it again, Philippians chapter 3. But Paul's passion was to know the deep, transforming knowledge of God. That's what it was. He wanted to know God. He wanted to know Him more than anything else. He wanted to experience Him. He wanted to live for Him more than anything else. And he says, "This one thing I do." And everything else is going to flow from that. We get the idea, and I think we have to understand this, that Mary had done her job in the kitchen. Mary had kind of helped out to where she thought, we're good. And as soon as she finishes that, she goes straight to the most important thing. And the most important thing at that point was what? Spending time with Jesus. And she was going to feed from Him. She was going to feed on His Word at that time. And so then Jesus makes this comment back to Martha, understanding her situation. When He says, "Martha, Martha," it wasn't like, "Martha, Martha." No, it was, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're troubled because of so many things." And now as He says, look at the end of verse 42 again, He says, "Mary has chosen the good portion, and that good portion will not be taken away from her." How many of you had breakfast this morning? How many of you are hungry right now? It's like, okay, preacher, hurry. Isn't it amazing that you sit down and you have like, this is a great meal. You know, one of the reasons I like traveling with the senior saints, they like to eat. And you know what they do? When we go out to eat, you know what they do? We'll have an hour bus ride, and they'll talk about food all the way there. And then they'll absolutely throw down at wherever we're eating. They'll walk out like this. And you know what we talk about on the way back home? Food. It's awesome. Dessert. It's true. Talk about food. And we ate. You can have a delicious meal. You can, you know, walk out of the restaurant. And isn't it amazing? In about 3, 4, 5 hours, if it's Ivan Chenault, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes. We're hungry again. We got to be fed again. But isn't it amazing when the Word of God speaks to you and you've walked with God and you've truly committed your life to live for Him and you're walking with Him day by day and you've prayed and you've trusted God and God has met a need and God has delivered for you and God has shown Himself so true to His Word. Isn't it amazing that that never leaves you? That's what He's saying to Martha. She's chosen the good portion which will never be taken away from her. Sure, you're at church today. I know that. But I'm asking you, what do you do daily? What do you do on a regular basis that demonstrates a true worship of God? The reality today of our text is that in her busyness, Martha takes her eyes off of the Savior. That's the reality of the situation. I mean, Jesus wasn't putting her down because she was working. Jesus wasn't elevating Mary because she wasn't. But Jesus is addressing the real issue here. The reality is that Martha still loved Jesus. Martha loved her sister. Martha wanted to do what was best. But the issue at hand is that Martha had taken her eyes off the Savior. And as the result of that, drama ensued. So what's causing your drama today? Is it sin? Man, you know, when you're trying to hide sin or you're living in sin or you're trying to tell a lie to make up for a lie that tells a lie that makes up for another lie, man, that's drama every day. You know who one of the worst enemies that we have is? Ourselves. We're so focused on me. We're so focused on what I need. We're so focused on having our needs met. We're so focused on making everything perfect around us. And we take our eyes off of Jesus. What's causing your problems today? Where's your focus? I pray today that you'll look to Christ. I pray that you'll give your life to Him in salvation. I pray that you'll commit your life to live for Him every single day. I pray for that. I close today with kind of a drama situation that happens sometimes in homes. And I'm going to exaggerate a point, so I don't want 15 ladies walking out of church and giving me side-eyeing me like you're mad at me, okay? So I'm telling you, I'm going to over-exaggerate. I'm preaching now, right? Us men, we get real proud about grilling, don't we? I mean, we are the grill master. You know, nobody else can grill, but we're the grill master. And you don't just cook with a gas grill. You know, you've got charcoal. You've got a smoker that's on the side. You don't just put charcoal bricks in there. You put wood chips, and those wood chips got to smell a certain way. Or now you put pellets in there. If you can afford one of the green eggs that gives you, you know, total heat that goes all around the inside. I mean, all of those things. We are the grill master. And when it's steak time, man, we're good. We're volunteering to cook, no problem at all. And your wife says, hey, tomorrow night we're going to have steak. Awesome, no problem, I got it. Then you ask your wife, okay, what time is dinner? We're going to serve dinner at 6 o'clock. No problem. The one time he's on time is when he's grilling, all right? He got in your mind 24 hours before. You're taking your own special rub that you won't tell anybody else about. And you're rubbing down that steak. You may have your own special marinade. And man, you're fixing it all up. And you're making sure that it sets at room temperature for a certain time. You make sure that it's in the refrigerator for a certain time. You make sure it comes out of the refrigerator at a certain time. And I mean, you know, you are out. You are not only on time, you're early to cook. Man, you got that grill rolling. I mean, it's just right, at the right temperature, at just the right temperature. Can't be 5 degrees lower, can't be 5 degrees too much. At the right temperature, you take that steak, that $10, that $15 steak. Man, you put it right in there at the right time. And when you do that, you take your phone out, and you take a picture of it, and you post it on social media, I'm the grill master. Hashtag grill master. Hashtag are you jealous, you know? All that's happening. Man, you're cooking. You're looking at your watch. you know, on this side, it goes 8 minutes. And then I'm going to flip it up real quick, and I'm going to flip it over, and 8 minutes, and not a second more on this side. And in 16 minutes, you have got it timed down. It's the only time that men are ever on time. You've got it timed down perfectly that right at 5:59, you are walking through the door. And you're walking into the kitchen, and you're either placing that steak on your plate, or you've got it exactly where it needs to go, and you're sitting there, and I mean, it is piping hot, it's still sizzling, the juices are flowing there, you've got your fork, you've got your knife, you're ready to cut into that steak, and you're ready for everybody around the table to go, "Dad, that's an awesome steak. You are the grill master, Dad." And you're ready to get, and you're like, "Mom, where are you? Honey, where are you?" And you hear this voice from the kitchen, "Men, we have to wait just a minute. The bread's not done." And as you gently place your fork and your knife back on the plate, and from the bottom of your feet, it comes up into your head. And your face is red, not because of the heat of the grill, because you are about to explode. And inside of you, us men, we're going, "You got to be kidding me. You're telling me that I'm going to let this $10, $15 piece of steak that is fixed to perfection ruin and get cold over a 10-cent piece of toast?" Can I get an amen from some men here? Now, in case you're just worrying, I cleared this with my wife yesterday before I got up and said this. But if you're grilling, is it about the salad? Is it about the baked potato? Is it about the green beans or the corn? Is it about that beloved piece of bread? You can't add up an entire bag of potatoes and all of the bread and all of the sides to equal the price of your piece of steak. And you're telling me that my perfection that's before me is sitting there getting cold because of a piece of bread. Do you think we're kind of losing a little focus on what's most important here? It's the steak. Now, depending on your relationship with your wife, you have put your utensils down very softly, you have placed your hands and said, "Yes, dear." Or if you're like me, "What? Are you kidding me? Man, I'm praying myself. I'm going to slide the piece that I ate up next to my baked potato. She'll never know it's gone." By the way, that's all truthful. Maybe I exaggerate just a fraction. But here's my point. How many pieces of toast are flying around in your life today? And you're so consumed with that piece of toast. The men, it's all about the steak. The women, it's about the presentation of the meal. And both are equally important. They are. It's important when women have prepared and they've cooked. And by the way, men, that one time you cooked, it doesn't surpass the six other times that she's cooked for the rest of the week. Amen? Men, I give you an opportunity. Amen, amen. Or you're like, "Can I say amen?" And I throw it out to the women and they mail it right there. Trying to help you guys. Are both important? Yes, they are. They are. Because when it's all said and done, you want to be able to push back from the table and go, "That was an incredible meal." Because you need a good baked potato. You need some salad. You need some other vegetables that are there. You got to have a good dessert, amen? You got to have all those things. But I'm afraid too many times we're focused on pieces of toast when God wants to feed a steak. And we're missing it. We're missing it because we're so consumed with self. We're missing it because there's sin in our life. We're missing it because we're so distracted because everything is my world and my world, and there's so much drama that's going on. And either I'm creating the drama or somebody else is creating the drama, and I'm allowing this drama to take my focus off of what's most important. I don't know what's happening in your life today, but I'm telling you this. Giving your life to Christ is the most important thing you will ever do. Committing your life to Christ and living for Him after you get saved is the most important thing for you to do. And Everything flows from that. And if that's not the priority in your life, if that's not the flow chart, if that's not the decisions that you've made, I pray today that you'll make the right decisions. I pray today that you'll make things right. There's another time that we read about Martha and Mary in John's gospel. And it appears at that time that Martha's kind of got everything right. There's no frustration, there's no arguing, nothing that we read here. She saw the error of her way. She perhaps repented. She had a literal come to Jesus meeting that day. She got stuff right. And the drama, gone. Two hands went up a few minutes ago. I am tired of living in drama. I've just shown you how today not to live in that drama. Where's your focus today? Where is it? Only you can answer that. If it's not on Christ, I pray today that you make the decision to truly live for Him.